This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Barbara in Ocala, Florida. What's up, Barbara?
Hey, Rich, I want to just disagree with you. I have a problem with you thinking that the Buffalo Bills are not going to go to the Super Bowl and win. Because they are. They're the quarterback. And a team is built around the quarterback. They're not all George Blanders. You know, they can't kick and throw, too. This team right now is going to beat everybody out. This kid is better than Montana. This kid, Allen, ain't no laid back. He don't even talk. He's just a machine. I'm all excited about how they performed last night because, man, they just didn't care that they were ahead. They wanted to keep winning. They wanted to keep doing the right thing.
You're fired up and you're calling my show and saying, I don't know what I'm talking about.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Caller Barbara to the Rich Eisen Show. Love it. You know what she wants? Barb wants dropbacks. Yeah. Just throw that ball, baby. It is, I will admit to being like-minded of Barb. I mean, admitting this is not a shock if you listen to us for like 5 minutes. When the Bills are up by two scores and throwing to destroy teams is when I am in my happiest place. That is the best. If you've ever been a fan of any team, this is like, look at your favorite eras of rooting for whatever teams you root for. Let's play this game for a minute, okay? Everybody think about it. All right, your favorite Yankee team ever, or your favorite Red Sox, or your favorite Notre Dame, Texas football, Syracuse basketball, whatever your favorite team is. You know, we've got Bills and Sabres in town. Your favorite version of the Sabres. How often is it the version of that team that just lays waste to opponents offensively? The 05, 06, and 06, 07 Sabres, what were they?
High
skate
flying.
Circles around you.
Yep.
The quote from Lindy when they kept taking penalties, we just go score on the power play. 8-2. They're losing their minds.
Didn't he say that about Hitchcock? The more they acted like idiots, the more we wanted to score, basically.
Yep. The Sabres got the entire Flyers front office fired after a 9-1 blowout. Like, that is just it for me. I, you know, flirted with a couple different baseball teams in my time. Grew up a Mets fan, went to the Braves because they were on television on Channel 4, went over to the Blue Jays recently because we can go to games. My wife and I would go to a bunch of games. And when were the Blue Jays the most fun that when I watched them? Is when they did nothing but mash homers all the time.
Yeah.
It was so fun. You know, like it is an entertainment product. And Monday Night Football, that Bills game was right in line with that stuff. It's like, oh, are you not entertained? Think about Granato. When Granato got the job with the Sabres, they didn't make the playoffs. But the 1 year, what did he say? It's an entertainment product. We got to put some points on the board. And everybody scored a million goals.
Yeah.
And they missed by a point. But we loved it.
It was easily the most fun team in the last 13 years.
They scored.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's probably part of the reason why Granato, by the way, never made the playoffs. How hard is this? I don't think he's that... He's pretty well-liked for a coach that was here for 4 years and got fired without making the playoffs.
I agree.
And why is he probably more well-liked than any of the... Even go to the Bills drought coaches or the Sabre drought coaches? Isn't it just because they scored goals and played an entertaining style of hockey?
Yes.
It's my favorite Liverpool team. Liverpool, when they were just high-flying, scoring four goals a game.
I just think there's a power in that. I mean, last year, last couple of years, you mentioned Liverpool. Arsenal would be up 2-1. They'd give up a goal or whatever. They're up 2-0. They give up a goal 2-1. They go score again. Like, oh, sorry. Don't lock it down. Kill the game with points. And Joe Marino, like, interesting that he brought this up. So we talked about the Baltimore matchup with Joe, and he thought one of the best potential game scripts is the Bills should try and end this game early, just like they did Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Hey, they like to hand the ball to Derrick Henry. Guess what will make them stop doing that? Being down 21.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to limit possessions. You want to get on the field and run up the score. And the Bills did that for a couple years, and they were really darn good. And they did it against Miami. They did it against Jacksonville. So it's all been pretty cool. And one X factor on this season about how could they be the best team they could ever be is if Joe Brady is amazing at this. And, you know, this offense has come together for number one in the NFL in yards after catch, EPA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're getting what they are designed to get. And I don't know if that'll always be the case. They might need some help at some point this year, next year, whatever. But, man, looks pretty good.
They've become an offense. They've gotten good at all the things we thought they needed to get good at, too, right? Like, wasn't last year when Dorsey was the coordinator, hey, how come they're running no motion? How come they're trying to be this yak team, and again, we have a team that's just not doing it? It's not good. This year, you mentioned they're number one in the league in EPA from yards after catch. They are also leading, according to Doug Farrar, with motion, which they've run on 127 of 163 snaps. With motion, the Bills are number one in the NFL in touchdowns, yards per play, EPA per pass, and EPA per play when they're running motion. So they've started doing the things we thought they needed to do, and now they're executing it perfectly, and it's all like integral to the fabric of their offense.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, Allen, they're so good at yards after catch that when Kevin Cole's coming out with his charts on, like, who are the best quarterbacks in the league by expected points or whatever, Allen actually drops from number one to number two because his receivers are so good at getting yards after catch. It's not even to take anything away from him. It's just he's getting more help on that front than he ever has before.
My favorite stat was Shakir had a nice game against the Jaguars.
So much of it is Shakir, too.
His air yards on six targets was a -4.
Like, right. Yeah.
But they're getting the job done.
Yeah.
So, and he's the most efficient receiver in football yet again. 803-0550 if you want to chime in on this. We'd love to have you. We've got to, you know, time to take some calls. And there's something I wanted to get to. Oh, I know what it was.
It was it the UNLV quarterback?
I do want to get to that. Yeah.
There's a big college football story.
There's about
that's
to
breaking.
Be a big controversy. Yeah. Make sure you're on the right side of it. Mike in a car first. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. I want to talk about Brady. I was very critical of him at the end of the season last year. I thought the second half against the Chiefs was abysmal, the way that he continued to use Cook, who continued to lose yardage, including at, you know, first and 10 at the 27-yard line with the 2:42 left, putting Josh into a second and long, which happened to that entire second half of that game. And but for the end of the Cardinals game this year, where I think he got a little conservative going for the field goal. I've just loved the way that he's been calling plays. I mean, I'm extremely critical, and I'm watching these games, and if I see one call or two calls that I say, oh, I didn't like that call on second and whatever. I mean, last year, not just Brady, but with Dorsey, it was like every other call on Monday morning quarterback. They should have called something else. Everything he calls is just well planned. I love the way that they've become aggressive with going for it on fourth down. I think that, and I've said this before, I think that's one of the huge advantages that the Chiefs have in terms of Andy Reid over McDermott, because Andy Reid is calling plays knowing whether or not he's going to go for it on fourth down. And maybe McDermott and Brady now are on the same page and knowing, okay, it's third and four. This is two down territory. I don't have to get all 4 yards because I'm going for it on fourth down. I just love the way that the offense is being called by Brady.
Yeah. There's a confidence in the offense, too, from McDermott, right? Like, he's choosing to go for these fourth downs. I would hope that a lot of it is number-based, that there's an analytics guy that's telling him this is when you go, this is when you don't. But we've seen from Sean McDermott there is a little bit of feel to when he goes for fourth downs. And maybe he's just going for these fourth downs because he has full faith that their offense is going to get it right now. I mean, the two fourth downs they've executed on first drives in the last 2 weeks, it's kind of the same motion, right? It's that orbit motion where a receiver runs behind Allen. Against the Dolphins, it was Samuel. Against the Jaguars, it was Shakir. Against the Dolphins, they did that same look and threw it to James Cook, scored a touchdown. Against the Jaguars, they did that same look, threw it to Shakir, who was wide open and got 15 yards easy. Like, the two fourth down calls where, all right, Joe, call play. You're going for it on fourth and three. And both times, it's been the easiest play you've ever seen in your life.
Instead of an Allen rollout, call his own number, duck past Matthew Judon, and dive through three guys, it's just like,
right.
Oh.
It's just, the play design makes this like an easy get.
Pitch and catch.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike, for the phone call.
He's getting to witchcraft, witch territory.
It's good stuff. And, you know, like to revisit conversations from earlier in the week, and these will probably be ongoing conversations, I don't think they are necessarily a million times better because they can run the ball. They've not been a bad running team in years past. They really haven't. They've been,
and they're also not like the best run team in the league right
now.
No,
they're fine.
They're fine.
Yeah. They're fine.
Cook was under 4 yards per carry against the Jags, but like whatever. Who cares?
Right. What they are is the best team at passing the ball. When they drop back to pass, it's the best play in sports in the NFL is the Bills dropping back to pass right now. And you might think that's because of the way they've built their run game. That might be right. But
yeah,
the run game being respectable is always a good idea. Sure. But the fear for me was always they'd become too run heavy.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see them do that.
Josh Norris had a good tweet on this too yesterday from, he works on Underdog. He's a show on Underdog. And they were talking about the Panthers and Brady's time there. And his tweet, never forget Joe Brady got DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, and Mike Davis all to 1,000 yards with Teddy Bridgewater as his quarterback. He did do that once. Like, there has been a sample before of you put a bunch of weapons together that are all fast, that can all give you a little yards after catch, and Joe Brady is going to get production out of them. And it's happening again now, but with a cyborg playing quarterback instead of Teddy Bridgewater.
So the coming controversy for, you ready for this, UNLV football.
This will be the debate of the sports world today?
Yes. UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka has decided to redshirt because he claims that he was promised money, NIL, right? Promised, what's the word I'm looking for here, Joe?
He said there were commitments made to him that were not fulfilled.
Yes.
So now, yes, in some way or another, that means, whether that's through endorsements, right, or whatever.
Sure.
That
commitments were made that were not fulfilled.
The NIL world. He's a quarterback that plays Division I. Those guys get money and a good chunk of it. And basically, it sounds like he, from his side, he was told he was getting something, and then the season started, and they said, yeah, we don't think so.
So
the team is, through their reporters, are saying now that that's not true.
That's so right. The team is going to say that. I've got a tweet right here from Carl Reed Jr.
That's yes, yep.
Who is a college football analyst at 24/7 Sports, saying that after wins against Kansas and Houston, Sluka's family hired an agent, and they collectively feel his market value has increased. So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
College football is pro sports now.
Yep.
And if you commit to go to UNLV and you look for commitments, it's interesting that Carl Reed, his tweet says all financial commitments were completely met. What about the other ones? Were there other commitments?
Mm-hmm.
Were there commitments to reevaluate if things went well and they decide they're not going to do that? Like, just saying all financial commitments were met doesn't, I don't think, tell the whole story. But if a player in college football has their value go up and says, I think I should get more,
yeah,
that's life. I mean, like, I know everyone wants the purity of the game. The purity is gone. A receiver can hold out if you're employed by an NFL team. A quarterback can hold out. A defensive tackle can hold out. And if you're in college and you're getting paid and you feel like you're worth more, you can hold out.
But see, what's different here is this is where like the infighting and the he said, she said starts in college football. You don't have that as much in the NFL. Why? Because we have a contract we can look at. We can look up Ja'Marr Chase's contract and know exactly what's going on. He's getting paid $1.5 million this year. It's not hard to figure out. The Bengals don't want to give him more than $1.5 million. There's no contract here, right? Like, NIL is still mostly in the dark. You know what's happening now, but you don't know all the details. So you can have more he said, she said, where Sluka can kind of claim, like, they promised me stuff and aren't giving it to me. And the university can come back and say, yeah, but we did. But I don't know. It reads like, to me, I like being pro player on fronts like this over the big, giant programs and, you know, billionaire owners in football, that if the player is, what would it suit the player to not play out the season? You know? Like, okay, the take is what? That he is going to sit out the rest of the year and then he's going to get more money now next. Wouldn't he also be probably doing some damage to his own reputation in some programs because they're now looking at him as, hey, man, you quit on your team?
That's probably right.
Like, I don't know that this automatically makes him more valuable, which is the take from UNLV.
Enter the transfer portal next year and try and get paid big time?
Right. Like,
lose
maybe,
a year?
Maybe.
I mean, he doesn't lose a year of eligibility because he's using a redshirt year. So, yeah, I don't know.
It is a crazy story, though, right? Like, because it is pro sports now.
Oh, for sure.
It is 100% pro sports now. The money is going to the players, and I don't know. Maybe we'll get more reporting on this, on whether financial commitments were made or not. Because couldn't the team be daring him to, like, play it out? Like, hey, we started 3-0. Yeah, we're just going to not do this.
This is
because maybe they're making a bet against him. Like, you're not going to sit out. You're 3-0. You're the quarterback of a 3-0 team that's beaten a couple Power 5 teams. Like, you're not going to sit out.
There's a bigger conversation about, I think, the sport of football and finances. And yesterday we had a caller say that the Bills, you know, they really are a family. And I thought, yeah, Mitch Morse used to be a part of that family, and they told him to get out. Same with Gabe. Like, you're a family until you're not on the team. They told Jordan Poyer his family, and then they said, all right, go. Be a member of another family. Like, it depends on how much the business side of it bothers you versus how much you want to believe in all the rosy stories. Like, there's a clip from Allen that went around Pro Football Talk. Oh, is Allen throwing shade at Diggs because Allen said, we got a bunch of guys that don't care about stats. Maybe they don't openly care about stats in every meeting and talk about it. You don't think that Khalil Shakir, when it's time for his contract, cares about stats? He's going to care. You're going to care. We can all pretend that nobody cares about stats, but of course people do. It's what gets you paid.
Isn't that why the Bills called Dawson Knox before drafting Dalton Kincaid? Why would they call him? Because wouldn't their inclination be, he might not like this. Right?
Right.
He's fine with it. He's good
with it. They're fine.
But he's certainly seen a step down in numbers.
And you have plenty of instances where a player's individual desires get in the way of the team construct. There's no doubt about that. But it's also very normal for it to be part of the team construct. Like, guys in this league, you know what they talk about? Did he get paid yet? You get drafted, and then your next contract is getting paid. Hang out with a couple of NFL players. Have them talk about so-and-so. Oh, he get paid yet? They mean, did he get his next big deal? And those deals are determined by, for a lot of positions, your statistics. Like, it's a very cliche thing to go to talk about, like, oh, this receiver only wanted targets. But the funny thing is, the irony is, if you win without that guy getting targets, you'll tell him he's expendable. So he needs the targets in order to get paid. Which is it? Which do you want? If you want an everybody eats offense, again, like, I'm happy with what the Bills are doing. It's just, if Khalil Shakir is indeed one of the best receivers in football, perfectly built for this type of NFL that is being played, then I'm going to want to give him lots of money, make sure he doesn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that money will be determined by stats. Like, would anyone make the case that he doesn't care if he makes $1 million or $20 million? He cares. Who wouldn't? So to me, I think it comes down to how uncomfortable you are with the business side of it. The other thing about the easiest and quickest point about this. I was thinking about this the other day because there are some Bills fans, I think a lot of Bills fans, who every comment the team makes or every single thing that happens is some sort of commentary on Diggs. And that can be fun. Like, if you want a revenge tour, I mean, people did it with Eichel, right? everything about Eichel. Oh, when the Sabres beat him here and Tuck scores that goal, and like, oh man, what an embarrassment for him. I'm glad he's losing. He's a bum. And I don't really, I'm trying to think of the, I was trying to really think, who's the last player I held a grudge against? Because I didn't hold one against Eichel or O'Reilly or any of those guys from those Sabres teams.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches, I'll hold a grudge. GMs, I'll hold a grudge.
Doug Marrone.
Player. I'm really searching in my own, who's the last player I held a grudge against? And I don't know why.
For leaving specifically?
For any reason, you were bad, I hated you here, your attitude was bad. I just don't often do it.
Yeah.
Which, maybe it's healthier to do it more often because it's, you know, like guys on other teams. But if a guy played for my team and did well, I don't flip a switch to just get mad at that guy and say, I hate you.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, plenty of people have plenty of fun doing that.
The last guy that I was,
I wish you the worst.
I mean, I did get that way about Eichel for that year where Vegas missed the playoffs at the stretch where he was healthy. But I was fine with him until he talked after losing to the Sabres and sounded like he was being a big baby about losing to the Sabres here.
Right.
But then, like,
see, I was too busy.
That cooled for me pretty quickly after that year.
Right.
After he missed, I felt like, all right, that we had our fun. He missed the playoffs. Now they're probably going to be really good again. I didn't think they'd win the cup, but they did win the cup. I always try to figure out, like, is it understandable? Like, Eichel wanting out. Of course he should want out.
Yeah, of course.
Of course he would. He's a kid from Boston who's on a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 13 years and they're about to rebuild with him in the middle of his prime. So
he gave an interview recently.
There are definitely situations where I have thought, like, I didn't like when LeBron left Cleveland.
There you go.
And went to Miami. Like, I hated the way that he did that and the choice that he made about it.
Yep.
So I'm younger then, but that was one where it was the way he left. It was the situation, the circumstances, not just that he left his home to go somewhere else.
Well, I don't want to get too down the road of, like, psychoanalysis and the minds of sports fans, but if you think the Bills moved on because Diggs was a bad guy or he was old and declining, then why are you mad at him? If the Bills did it, then good. And if he wanted to leave because he didn't believe, here's another thing, like the Eichel comparison. Eichel was making a bet, you're not going to be any good. I want to go somewhere good. And if Diggs, in his need to get off this team because he didn't like the Joe Brady offense, was making a bet,
yeah,
maybe he bet wrong.
Yeah, right.
And if he did, am I mad at him for that? Feels like the only reason you'd be mad at him
that
is if
that you could be. But you could say, hey, you're betting against my thing working, and that's why you want out.
And that's why I want to shove it in your face. But,
yeah.
But for me, part of it is like, you should only be mad if you still want him here and you're burned by it. That was one of the things that Eichel said. A lot of these people booing probably wish I was still here. He said that, and that made people really mad. Because it was good riddance, we're turning the corner, blah, blah, blah. I just think, like, for me, this whole season is not a referendum on Diggs. And I know every comment seems like it is, but what they really have right now is an offensive coordinator that has, it looks like, 3 games in. I mean, Dorsey had us feeling this way a year ago, but it looks like he's got the goods, Brady.
Yeah.
803-0550. Got a couple callers on this. Love to hear from you on the other side, John. So hang with us if you can. We have an open segment. 803-0550. On grudges, on, you know, former players. I don't know. I'll think about it.
We got to find one.
For me, I got one. Deshaun Williams, Syracuse basketball.
But, ooh, there we go.
And it's like 2000.
Is there an Arsenal guy?
I didn't like him.
There's somebody who left there.
Arsenal.
Raheem Sterling was this for me once upon a time in the soccer world.
Might be Granit Xhaka.
Okay.
Walking red card. Just all the time with that guy. Red cards every day. All right, 803-0550 on WG.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging.
MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Yeah.
I may not get the ball four or five times thrown to me a game, but the one or two times I do, I'm going to have opportunities to be in the end zone. And it's a fun and wonderful thing when you got a bunch of guys that don't care about the stats, they don't care about the touchdowns. And again, I think throughout practice, we've just had this mindset of like, hey, let's just do things the right way and find ways to win football games. That's what we're doing right now.
Josh Allen, Bills and Ravens Sunday. Got a couple callers on this. On the idea of like holding grudges against players that leave, who you did and who you didn't, because I kind of self-diagnosed that I'm forgiving of players probably too much, but I'm more likely to get mad at management than I am the player. Somebody wrote in, Kyle tweeted in about like, oh, what about Ristolainen? I never rooted against him when he left. I mean, the idea was to laugh if he lost, but I don't really care. I was mad the Sabres identified him as like some core piece that had to be here and play 25 minutes. I get mad for playing the player that's not good enough rather than the player not being good enough.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550. John and Tonawanda, first up. Hey, John.
How are we doing today, guys?
Good.
So two things. Number one, the holding a grudge. I will always hold a grudge against Willis McGahee. He badmouthed the town on his way out. He came back the very next year with the Ravens. He ran for like 135 in a TD, and we still beat him. But I will always hold that grudge.
McGahee's a good one. Taking shots at the city itself when you're on the team, like that was. It's funny, John. If you allow me some context, like sometimes not even to disagree with your point, McGahee said, like, there's not a lot to do. Like, you got to go to Toronto. Deion Dawkins said, this week, there's not a lot to do. But, you know, like, hey, we stay.
Vaughn said it.
Yeah. We stay in, we play games, there's not a lot to do. I do feel like I lived that era with you too, John. Like, we were a lot more self-conscious about the idea that we didn't belong in the NFL. It's the you know, the Bills, they're wearing World League uniforms. The drought is just starting at that point. Toronto was a looming specter that's like over your shoulder the entire time. And he hears, you know, you're starting running back talking about Toronto. Like, to me, that was a threat at the time. Whereas now, if, you know, a player on the team that we know loves the area is like, there's not a lot to do. You're like, yeah, that's probably right. You know, like, so I do think it's interesting, like, the context of the timing.
Yeah, agreed. The other thing I'll say about the Diggs thing, you know, sometimes, you know, I've been a season ticket holder for 5 years now, and, you know, sometimes we'd have an offensive possession, and it seemed like it was flowing, it was clicking, and then we would just throw this, like, negative one-yard screen to Diggs that felt like just to feed him a catch and keep him interested, and it would throw the whole offense or the flow of that possession out of whack. And, you know, without that requirement, it seems, and I could just be, like, nitpicking here, but it seems without that context that Josh can go find the guy that's open or where the play where it's working, it just seems like the offense is just flowing better now as opposed to these little bumps of just trying to force-feed Diggs on a given play to keep him interested.
Yeah. Those kind of throws only happened with Joe Brady last year. I mean, he didn't really get screens before that.
No, but never.
And, like, the whole, you know, I don't know. There's 1 year where Diggs gets 100 targets and Beasley gets 100 targets. I'll continue to make the point on this that without it being wrong, the reason he got so many is because they were so terrible behind him. Really. Like, they built their room out to be him and Davis that shouldn't have been in that role.
Mm-hmm.
And what? You know? So, like, now,
yep.
I do think they have more, well, first off, more players. They dress five. Sometimes they dressed four before. They've got a little bit different skill sets. They've got two tight ends they use instead of one. I mean, even last year, Knox and Kincaid were not always healthy at the same time.
Yeah, they're also running an offense that doesn't quite. It would be. I don't know how they would use Diggs. I know Houston's using Diggs. Houston's using Diggs as if he is Cole Beasley.
Yeah. And
what? He's not doing that here. He's not even lining up in that spot here.
That's right. It's not quite as cut and dry as like, hey, if you run a 3-4 defense, then this guy doesn't fit in it, right?
Right.
But that does feel a little bit like what this is. That, no, actually, the type of receiver that you are,
really,
the declining characteristics have to be a part of this. Because a true elite separator on the outside, like he has been for, had been,
right,
for most of his career, I'm sure that Joe Brady would very much like one of those.
Maybe.
If the Bills get one, then that's great. But for the current fit, you know, there's plenty of specialists in football or roles in football, right? The one technique, three technique, who fits and who doesn't. And for him to not fit, you know, so far it looks like the Bills win that bet.
Well, what did Joe Brady ask him to do last year? He had 75 targets in 9 games with Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator. What was he asking him to do? He was asking him to do the stuff Shakir's doing right now.
And Samuel. And he thought, that's not me.
Maybe all parties would have seen it. That's how Joe Brady wants to use his top wide receivers. Stephon Diggs is not good at that stuff. Simple. Maybe it's that simple.
Maybe.
Houston's not using him in that way at all.
John, who is driving. Hey, John, good morning.
Oh, I'm parked now. Good morning.
All right.
Good morning.
All right, good.
I'm going to be, first of all, you guys, I miss Howard, but you guys are great in the morning. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
For doing what you do. I kind of came in a little off topic because I didn't hear what you guys were talking about. So I will say I'm not a grudge person because I think it's unproductive. But if I have to, I'll go off of that guy's Willis McGahee and kind of Jack Eichel because they never really wanted to be here. And a player that's never really sold on us and never really gives us a chance. And then, you know, they're getting paid. It just seemed like they didn't have their hearts into Buffalo and we need that. Really knowing the top.
No, that's it. We're basically asking. I was pointing out that I don't often hold grudges against players. Mine's always saved for coaches and management. And I was trying to think of like players that I hold a grudge against. And
Well, all right then. Yeah, definitely McDermott, 13 seconds. But just going back to, I'm never letting that grudge go. I forgot about that one. But I wanted to go into something you were talking about, how everybody, you know, we look like we're throwing Diggs at Diggs. And I have to say I was a big Diggs defender. Like I said, you want a receiver that wants the ball all the time. You want him to be a diva. But I think he kind of just became so sour and was probably really making Josh's job hard. So I don't think that he didn't make Josh better. Josh didn't make him better. But the culture, he is totally the best case of addition by subtraction because him being gone just does free Josh up and also gives these other guys skin in the game, and they can go for that big contract now. They all think that they have a chance to be the next star. So I think McDermott's got his culture back. It makes his job easier. So the grudges that I'll stop.
You're good. I'm going to jump on that point. Let's think about it as you're like laying that out. Let's think about it the same way we would about a contract. Like Gabe Davis was a good idea for this team until something came along where, well, you're no longer a good idea because we don't want to pay you $13 million. You're the Iron Bill. You win awards every year. But at some point, we have an end date on this relationship. These teams, these players, you're built for end dates on relationships. And for Diggs, I mean, Diggs was a part of the culture for 4 years. For 3 years, it went great.
Mm-hmm.
Deion Dawkins wrote in the Players Tribune how he made everybody a better player. He was a captain, and then it went south, and then it was, all right, well, now this is no longer in our interest to have you here. Like, Mac Hollins might be your favorite Bill for a year. He might play for the Seahawks next year. You know, there might be an end date, an expiration date on that. Dawson Knox, family member, close, blah, blah, blah. 2 years, is he gone? Because the sport builds in expiration dates. Sometimes it's salary cap. Sometimes it's age. Sometimes it's relationships. You're just going to get to those endpoints. Some are messy and some are not. Is Poyer's end messy? Like, here's something I'll predict. When the Bills play the Texans, I bet that the Bills try to really get under Diggs' skin. I bet the defensive backs really get in there. He fought them at practice.
Right.
He's intense. Yeah. And I bet they go after him a bit and they try to get him, whether it's off his game or if they wake him up, who knows. But I bet that's going to be spirited. And think about it. 2 weeks ago, we heard Deion Dawkins saying he hoped to knock Jordan Poyer's head off.
Yeah.
Like, right. I love you, but if you come, I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. That's this sport. That's a lot of this sport. So, you know, looking ahead 2 weeks, it's going to be juicy. I bet they go after him. Not because they think he's a loser and he was killing them, but because they know that might help them win. Mark in Tonawanda. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. Jeremy, I'm starting to turn around and agree with you on the whole Diggs thing. I mean, it was good. I just didn't like the comments. Same with, I'll never agree with you with Eichel. That's the only one I'm going to hold a grudge for. Just because he was supposed to be that guy. He was supposed to be that difference maker. And you know what? It just proves that sports are just conditional love.
Yeah.
It's not a marriage. And that's what it comes down to. And I think a credit to Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott is these guys are lovable. Everyone on this team, like, you want to win with a group of guys that they have, and then to see somebody go because of a contract or whatever kind of a reason where, you know, Jordan Poyer goes to Miami because he's offered money that the Bills did not think that he was worth.
Yeah.
So, and that's just what it is. If I'm Jordan Poyer, I'm 100% taking the money. Is it annoying that it's Miami? Yeah, but it just goes to show, hey, you know, I got a wife and kid. They're offering me way more money than everybody else was. Why wouldn't I take it? But the biggest grudge I have is with the managerial staff. When Darcy Regier did not pursue Danny Briere, I think Drury wanted out. I think there were reports that he had never planned on staying here.
Mm-hmm. Part of the, yeah.
And Craig Gravey. And he said, I wanted to stay here. And Darcy Regier wouldn't talk to him. They were worried about, like, give me a break. That set us back so long. Briere was awesome here. But yeah, I want to know what you guys say. I'm going to have to listen. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Yeah, to me, holding the grudge against the guy making all the decisions makes more sense than the guy that left. Often. And in the case of Bean and McDermott, one thing to point out here, they're really good at not burning bridges. They're not going to take their shots.
Right.
They're going to be complimentary of Gabe and of Morse and like
and Diggs. And, you're going to hear Diggs. It probably in the week leading up to the Houston game. Like, they're just, what bridge have they burned? Quentin Spain hates them.
That's right. Yeah, they don't.
A guard. They've pissed off one guard in 5 years.
The Bills are very good at their messaging. Really good at it. All right, Extendo Sports, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, coming up on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Reading this Owen Power blog from Germany.
Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah.
In that it is.
It's not bad so far, given that when I saw he was doing it, I thought, really, they pick Power? Because anytime I've ever heard him on a podcast or anything, he doesn't say anything.
He doesn't say anything in this blog. It's just, then we are going to go to Munich. Yeah. Then we are going to go to the rink. I will eat and I will sleep. It's really kind of funny.
It really is.
It almost like it's written by AI, but AI might have been more, you know, it's kind of funny. Give it some personality there, OP.
Yeah, I know.
But I did take away from that he can sleep on an 8-hour flight.
Who should they have picked? Who's got the most personality in the team? Paterka's from Germany. Kulik's from Prague. He's on the trip, by the way.
Yes, they have to bring extras.
Yeah, he might play in the opener.
Sabres and Red Bull Friday.
Yeah, must win. Must win. Toby Reeder in Red Bull Munich.
Tobias Reeder.
Did he play for the Sabres?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Think so.
Former Sabre in the other side.
Revenge game. Rasmus Dahlin skating and out of his non-contact jersey.
Nice.
Tobias Reeder. How many? His NHL.com profile is him in a Sabres uniform.
All right, there you go.
Yep. All right, that's it for us. We are back tomorrow. Cheers.